Luke chapter 1. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when the time of service was ended, he went to his home. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Luke chapter 1. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But
these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel had said to Zechariah, "Behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And for more than 9 months, Zechariah had been silent, unable to speak, a sign from God of the truth of the angel's message. Imagine what it would be like if you would be unable to speak when you disbelieve or doubt the Lord's word. He says, "I love you," and you wonder, "Then why did you let this happen to me?" He says, "I forgive you," and you question, "Is this really true? Doesn't it depend on what I do, at least a little? How sorry I am, or how successful I am in reforming my life?" If you and I were unable to speak when we disbelieved or doubted the Lord's gracious word to us, the world would be a much quieter place, I think. Yet that wouldn't be such a bad thing, for there is benefit to sitting quietly and contemplating the promises of our God. During those many months of enforced silence, Zechariah surely played over and over in his mind the message Gabriel had delivered to him. "Your prayer has been heard. Your wife will bear you a son, and he will be great before the Lord. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will make ready for the Lord a people prepared." There was no hesitation by Zechariah when his promised son was born. "His name is John," the father wrote, in accord with the angel's instruction. And immediately, Zechariah's mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Zechariah's enforced silence and prolonged inability to speak suddenly gave way to a great song of prophecy and praise. Guided by God, he put the birth of his son in the context of God's eternal plan. It's striking to note that Zechariah's song wasn't about the wonderful gift God had given to him and his wife in their newborn child. It wasn't really even about the little boy himself. It's God and his gracious actions that are the center and focus of this song. Zechariah starts out praising God who visits and redeems his people, who remembers his promises and works salvation. What's a bit curious is that Zechariah says all of this using verbs in the past tense. The Savior wasn't yet born. He certainly hadn't completed his life of perfect obedience, nor given his life on the cross as the sacrifice for sin. And yet Zechariah nevertheless speaks in the past tense. The Lord has visited and redeemed his people. It's possible to understand these words of Zechariah as reflecting on all that the Lord had done since his promise to our first parents in the garden, and to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in fulfillment of his covenant with them. The history of Israel is one long record of the Lord's repeated visitation and redemption of his people. And yet there seems to be more to Zechariah's words here than that. After his initial disbelief in the temple, he now responds with the Spirit-inspired assurance of one who knows that when God speaks, it is as good as done. If his son John was to go before the Lord, as Gabriel had proclaimed, then the Lord was surely coming. Of course, Zechariah had additional confirmation of this fact. In the verses between our two scripture readings this evening, Luke wrote of the visit of the Virgin Mary to Elizabeth and Zechariah's home. Part of what he records there is a Spirit-revealed exclamation by Elizabeth that Mary was the mother of the Lord. Thus, in faith, Zechariah sings of what the Lord was doing and would do as if it had already been done. The Lord has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. I imagine that sometime this month you're likely to come across a special story that pulls at your heartstrings as it tells of someone alone and apparently forgotten who discovers at Christmas that there is one who remembers and still loves them. Any of these fictional stories is but an echo of the true story of Christmas, of God remembering his promises of long ago, of his extending his mercy to lost sinners in the most tangible of ways, of his sending his only son Jesus in human flesh to seek and to save the lost, to redeem his people from their sins. Zechariah even sings of the glorious eternal results of the salvation Jesus would win for us on the cross, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, that is, from sin, death, and the devil, might serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Not having seen the cross and empty tomb, Zechariah nevertheless in glorious terms speaks of the results of the reconciliation that Christ would accomplish. As the redeemed of the Lord, blood-bought sinners, we now experience his gracious rule in our hearts and can look forward to serving him in righteousness and innocence and blessedness throughout all eternity. Surely this is something worth singing about. But Zechariah doesn't stop here. Having praised God, he now turns to his infant son and prophesies of him, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Did you notice Zechariah may have turned to his son, but he's still speaking of what the Lord will accomplish. The whole reason God sent John was to bring his people knowledge of salvation. Salvation not by obedience, but rather by forgiveness. Salvation by forgiveness through God's mercy. In keeping with his promises, in love for his fallen creation, God was sending his son to crush Satan's head and accomplish salvation for Eve and for Adam and for all of their descendants until the end of the world. And so that the world would know, the Lord sent John as his trumpet to blow the fanfare of salvation, to tell of forgiveness in the coming one, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. According to God's gracious plan, John did his job. Jesus accomplished his mission. We, who by nature could not have done anything but wait for spiritual darkness until death's dark shadow encompassed us, have been given the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In him, and through faith in him, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.